a wee while this morning on the title, Gideon, Coming Out of Shielding. Now, we know that some of you have been shielding because you've had to do that, and it's been a long haul. And because of health issues or possible health issues, you were told to do that, and you had to do that under the circumstances. But for Gideon, his circumstances were very different from yours. And yet, just as you were, in effect, hiding away from the world for all those weeks, he was hiding perhaps for a lot longer than that. Gideon's name is interesting, and in that the name Gideon means hewer, referring to one who would be felling trees, and therefore one who would be, names in those days meant, very often meant something, and this would indicate that he was a man of considerable strength and physical ability, and one who perhaps you would expect as a son of Israel to be out in the front line for them. Now, if you look in the previous chapter, the one that we read in, you see that largely this chapter 5, due in no small way to the work of Deborah, and yes, she was a woman, but she made a much better leader and worker than many men do, and she did a great work there, and this chapter is generally, it's a song of thanksgiving. And if you look there in verse 5, you'll see that there is a recognition. It says, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. When God moves in a remarkable way, people know. And it affects his own people in a way that so often can help us to see him in a way that maybe we've lost sight of. And to remember that God here worked in a remarkable way. And they recognize that in verse 5. In verse 11, you see here there's gratitude. It says, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the place of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. They're going over and over what the Lord has done. That's a good thing for all of us, even during a time of national lockdown, to go over what the Lord has done in the past. One thing that's good to go over is all the opportunities that he's given to us. And we've known what it is in some way for a lot of those opportunities to be all shelved for a while. And we haven't liked it. But it happened nonetheless, and it's good to go over what the Lord has done, to rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. And it is a righteous act of the Lord to give us civil and religious liberty, and to allow us to go around and to present his word to other men and women. There's also a heart worship here. If you look in verse 13, and he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles of the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. When God moves, he helps his own people. And he stirs their hearts, and he can put them into places of influence where they can be used for good and for God. And in this chapter 5, there, as I said, there are hearts that are full of gratitude and recognition and appreciation for all that the Lord has done. But it all seems to be lost in Gideon, the hewer. The man who would be looked upon as a strong man. Some commentators have referred to him as a strong man bound. And I suppose he was all of that. Because you read there in where he's threshing wheat by the winepress. Now, that's verse 11. Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He's showing a bit of defiance, because the Midianites would have wanted the wheat, and they had crept in closer, they'd made advance, they had grown in a military way, and their numerical superiority scared the life out of Israel. And sad to say, among those who were frightened at that time, there was this man, Gideon. They're driven to live in the sides of the mountains. Their homeland was taken from them in many ways. And this didn't go on for 3 or 4 months, 7 years. And that's a long time. Way up there in the mountain, threshing wheat by a wine press, which a wine press is a hollowed out part in a rock for pressing grapes. But a threshing floor is a large open area, and that is where you thresh wheat. And here he was. I've no doubt feeling humiliated, feeling defeated, looking for someone to blame, looking inward and finding nothing but unrest, looking around him and seeing nothing but despair. And brethren and sisters, that was the situation with Gideon. But there was a turning point here for the people of Israel. And it was, you can see it there in verse 6 and verse 7, they cried unto the Lord. And you know, in every generation, somewhere in the world, God brings his people to the husks, and then they cry unto him. And when they cry unto him with a true and a desperate heart, the way these people did, he will do something. And he did something, and he now looked upon them favorably again, and he had a man, and it was Gideon. Now, if one of the chief warriors in Midian had laid eyes on Gideon just where he was when the Lord come to him, they might have said several things to say. They might have said, you're behaving in a cowardly way. You're looking around you and blaming everyone else for this. Why were you not out defending it? They might have had a lot of things to say to him that were perhaps unfair and certainly unkind. But the Lord said to him in verse 12, thou mighty man of valor. Every one of us here, Christians, are glad that when sometimes we feel a wee bit like Gideon, and it doesn't seem to be much good happening around us, and maybe in our own heart, in some way, we tend to want someone to blame. And we think that more or less all is lost, and we're just plodding along. And the Lord comes along, and he speaks to our heart in a similar way. And what he's really saying here to Gideon is, Gideon, if you will be used, I will use you. So he starts off by talking to him. What a way to commence the conversation. He says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, I think we looked at verse 13 before. It's just full of bitterness. And Gideon can't find anything good. Well, he can't find anything good to say about the Lord. And the Lord didn't just come along and say, well, Gideon, if you will be used, I will use you. And then he comes right with what he said there in verse 13. If the Lord be with us, why then shall this befallen us? None but chaos and loss. And I don't know what we're going to do, but it's only if the Lord be with us. The Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Poor Gideon's in a bad state. And folks, I'm not drawing your attention to him today just to criticize a man. I'm not doing that at all. But just to say it to each of us, we can find ourselves in a similar position, pulling away from the Lord's work or the Lord's battles. Maybe filled with unhappiness, or maybe looking someone to blame, and maybe someone is to blame. Someone has inadvertently hurt us, or maybe they've said something nasty in the spur of the moment, and it's really eaten away at us, and it has brought us to that point where we're just like Gideon, and we're away shielding. That's where he was. Way up on the mountainside there, he was threshing some wheat. And he was a man that would be used of God, if God would be used of God. God wanted him to stand in the gap for his cause. And folks, that's what he wants us to do. To stand in the gap for his cause. And I know, as you do, of course, all of the fear and everything that's associated with the COVID-19 pandemic and all of that. But there are many other things. Many other things that are grieving to God and grieving to Christians. There is a call for abortion on demand. There is the pressure to more and more not just tolerate, but almost making you give your applaud to all the other things that are going on around us regarding relationships and so on. And we won't do that. But there's so much that you and I need to stand in the gap for. So here we have him. He's shielding, and the Lord comes along, and the Lord eventually persuades him. He says to him in verse 14, "Go in this thy might." And he doesn't have any might. The Lord is drawing his attention now to what he's able to do for him. For he says at the end of that verse, "Have not I sent thee?" That would make all of the difference, and it still does. When God sends a man or woman to do something for him, even within their own congregation, among their own family circle, that makes all of the difference. Gideon, of course, has his excuses in verse 15. But he says there in verse 16, "Surely I will be with thee." And as we look at Gideon this morning, the title, as I said, was "Gideon Comes Out of Shielding." I want you to notice several things. I want you to notice defeatism that was evident. Now, I mentioned that the Lord had said to him, "Thou mighty man of valor." There's no question about it. But Gideon was afraid. He was afraid. And someone reminded me just recently, very recently, that fear is one of the most effective instruments that anyone can use against anyone else. If you can instill fear into the heart of a man or woman, then your battle with them is half won. And here he was, this mighty man of valor. He was not displaying bravery, but he was by his little small pit here that was where he was threshing the wheat. And I believe that he was full of fear. And you will see that there, that as he begins to talk to the Lord there about the Midianites. He says in the middle of verse 13, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" And that was all well and good. He's reflecting on a positive thing there. He says, "But now the Lord hath forsaken us." That's what fear does to you. Fear makes you think negative thoughts about God's presence, about God's power, God's provision, all of the things that he's done for you in the past. And makes you think in a negative way. And when we begin to think in a negative way, brothers and sisters, about God, then we begin to fear. And when we think negatively of God, we look upon any talent or ability we have as useless. Because you'll see, he says there, "I am the least in my father's house." So he's absolutely no confidence in himself, perhaps he had before, and he has no confidence in God. And we may well look at a situation and say, well, here is a man who is displaying defeatism, and so he was. And folks, defeatism hasn't gone away. And it can come to me, or you, and it has come to many. It's come to some during this past 2 months. And fear has had an effect upon people that has changed their entire outlook on life. Yes, it may have been triggered by the COVID-19 coming along, but that hasn't done all the damage. Other factors have come in, and there's been the looking to God and thinking, well, why is this coming? And then there's been the looking around and confusion with people who are looking in power, supposed to be looking after us, and their decisions and their lack of decisions, and looking all around, it has filled people's hearts with fear. And then we see all the other things that I mentioned to you, the legislation that we hate and that's been enforced upon us year after year. And we look around and we feel hopeless to do anything, just like him. filled with fear. And maybe I speak to someone today and you come along to church and we're glad to fellowship with you here, and there's fear in your heart. And there's fear in your heart, and it's not just because of COVID-19. You know how it is in Northern Ireland at the moment, that it seems to be very, very low. But fear hasn't gone away. And there's still fear in your heart. And Christian, if you and I are filled with fear, we will not naturally want to be up and doing for the Lord. We want to hide. And I think Gideon lived in constant fear of the Midianites, that they might fall upon him as they had fallen upon so many others. You'll note, if you read on through chapter 6, that in chapter 7 as well, that Gideon's family were Baal worshippers. His father was the supervisor. Church historians, Bible writers tell us. And he was the main man in Baal worship. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And whenever your family, men and women, have a very different view to Christian values and Christian living and to the Word of God and to God Himself than you do, it doesn't make things any easier. But rather, sometimes it increases your fear. If I could read over there what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is writing here trying to encourage the Corinthian church. He's showing himself just to be a man. And he says here, he addresses them as brethren. He wants them to listen and to know that he's just the same as them. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then this is what he says, folks. He said, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He was a man who knew what it was to fear. He said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The word demonstration there, you've seen it in verse 4, it means to show something clearly or to point it out. If you were showing someone a photograph that you took in your holidays and you wanted to see or to focus on some particular part of that photograph, you may point it out and say, did you see that? Or look at that, or look at him, or her, whatever the case might be. Demonstration here means to show or to point something out. Or it also means a display that will affect the hearts of or lives of those who are affected, who are reached. A demonstration. A display that will affect the hearts and lives of those who are reached by this demonstration. So he's there in great fear. And he's there in trembling. And he says, now, I happen to believe he was a very good preacher. Most people do. But he says here that he was with them here in speech was, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, if Gideon was ever to get beyond this fear, this was going to have to be his experience. Because everything that he could be, and we know that he went on to be, was not because of him. But it was because of what God provided for him and what God did through him. It's amazing to think that a very short period of time, a number of years just, had passed since they had been singing and rejoicing in all the goodness of God and everything that he had provided through Deborah and all that God had done for them. It seems it was no time ago. But you see, when fear comes along, fear prompts us to forget. To forget about God's goodness and God's provision. And fear prompts us to do what he did. And what did he do? Brother, he was questioning the Lord. Because I said that, what a way to start a conversation. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. The answer, right away, on the defensive. Do you ever meet someone like that? You go and you try to encourage them just to say something to them, and right away they're on the defensive. You think, well, you know, I need to be careful here. Well, right away Gideon was on the defensive and he says, "Oh my God, if the Lord be with us. If the Lord be with us." So here he is. Fear has crushed him. Prevailing circumstances have had an effect upon this man that maybe he thought they would never have upon him. And his belief in what God could do as well was affected. Look at verse 13 again. It says, "Why then is all this," referring to the calamity all around them. Do you ever feel like that? Let's be honest, we do sometimes. Look around us, and it's very hard to find things happening that you can be really positive and happy about in the world. But whenever fear grips your heart, brothers and sisters, and fear drives you away, as it were, into hiding or shielding, as he wants, it affects every other area of your life. He's blaming God, and there's one thing here that he's not doing. He's not recognizing his own responsibility. Because that is what God is pointing out to him. He's saying, "It was all up to you, Lord, and you've let us down now, and look at the state of the place." He's discouraged, he's cold, his vision has been blurred, and he's defeated. Whenever I was first converted, still have so much to learn, but I had so much to learn then. I hadn't been to faithful Sunday school until I was in double figures, and was only in it for 2 or 3 years. And when I got saved, I had such a long way to go. And the Lord provided people in those early days who were encouragements, just ordinary folk. There's one fella, and he was a real encouragement. And he would have come with me, and he encouraged me to come out and outreach. He said, "I'll go with you around the doors when we're out with Dungannon." And he went around the doors with me, and he was in an easy way with him, and just was encouraged there being with him. And then one thing after another seemed to happen in his life, and he got to where Gideon was. Then he got to where beyond Gideon was, and he started being involved in things that he'd been involved in way before he was saved. And then, just a few years ago, there's a man told me that he'd been out drinking heavy and found him dead in bed. What an awful thing. And brothers and sisters, I believe that it all started out with fear, with questioning God, with focusing totally on the circumstances around him, and with going and hiding from the Lord's presence. And that's what he did. And folks, you may be afraid today, and I'm not being critical of you at all. You may be afraid because of the fact that the pandemic isn't completely gone, and then they start talking about maybe some more will come back again, and maybe we'll have to wear masks soon. And fear is, as I said at the very start, it is a lethal instrument. And if fear can get a hold of you, maybe it's just fear of life in general. Do you ever talk to people and they just tell you that very often they cry? I know one man, and he's a millionaire, and he's not a Christian man, but he went to another man who is also extremely wealthy. And this is what he told to a different man that I know. He went to that man and he said to him, he said, "I've got all this," he said, "but I can't, I'm just afraid all the time. I do a lot of crying." That's what he said. Now, you wouldn't think it if you were talking to him. He said, "I do a lot of crying." Men and women, the answer to this fear is not found in things. But as Gideon was going to find out, this defeatism and this fear, it was only going to be met and dealt with by the Lord if this man, Gideon, would step up to his responsibility. Remember his shielding, he's way up in the mountainside. Christians are generally gentle people, gracious. Now, I'm speaking of generally, of course, there's some exceptions. They're friendly people, pleasant people, to those that they mix with. They try to be winsome and so on, but Christianity is a battle. And that means you have to be in the battle. That'll mean you're a praying person. Not much indication that Gideon was praying. He thought God had left them altogether. And he really gave up, and he was just up here on the side of the mountain. Defeatism that was expressed. But I want you to see, I want to say before I leave that point, maybe that's where you are. Maybe it goes far beyond anything to do with the COVID-19, and you just feel like a defeated Christian. A defeated Christian, someone who has no confidence in himself, no confidence in the Lord. You can't see the Lord's hand, and you feel that, well, I'll just hide. I'll just shield. Defeatism that was expressed, but notice secondly then, the divine favour explained. For if you look in verse 15, the Lord uses a key word during speaking to him. It says the Lord looked upon him. Now that's significant. Because the Lord saw him in all his weakness, and the Lord looked right into his heart. He said to him, go. He said, go in this thy might, but that is not referring to, if you read verse 13, you'll see that there's not much might, humanly speaking, associated with Gideon. He's full of resentment. And the Lord says to him, go in this thy might. And then he says more than that. He said at the end of verse 14, have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? What a difference that makes. And all that Gideon would accomplish, and all that he would do, would be because the Lord had sent him. Verse 16, surely, there's the word, we're out of text now, surely I will be with thee. That's what the Lord was building up to the whole time. He knew all about Gideon, of course. He looked into his heart. He thought, there's a man over there threshing a bit of wheat there, and he's as bitter can be. He's defeated. He knows it. He's not happy about it. He's blaming me. But I'm going to go over, and I'm going to assure him that I'm with him. Surely I will be with thee. You know what that said to Gideon? That said, Gideon, every single step that you take from this day for me, I guarantee you I'll be with you. It's the same for you, Christian. Now's the best time to start. Now's the best time to start. We can't sit around and just think, well, someday everything in Northern Ireland will be absolutely normal as far as this COVID-19 is concerned. I hope it is, but it'll never be absolutely normal as far as sin is concerned. The bounds in every hand, and you and I need to be going now, doing what we can for him, knowing that every step we take will be directed by him. Go in this thy might. I've mentioned that. Maybe he was embarrassed when the Lord said that. Because after what he had said, the Lord turns around and said again to Gideon, just you go in this thy might and you'll save Israel as one from the hand of the Midianites. You do. It seemed like mockery. Do you ever think of something that needs done for the Lord, and if you were asked to do it, you think it nearly was mockery. You feel so unable to do it. Was it Hudson Taylor who said that all of God's great men have been very weak men who went at his bidding relying on him? Isn't that great to think that? All of God's great men and women, of course, have been weak men who went at his bidding relying on him. That's what keeps our missionaries on the field. Oh, they know all about their weakness. Speaking to a missionary one time, I said, what's it actually like in the campus where you live? She said, you find out very quickly that we're all very, very human. But the Lord keeps them there. They lean upon him. They go in his might. Now, I shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. If Gideon had gone down to the people in Israel and said, well, I'm going to save you all, that wouldn't have washed with them at all. Thought, well, Gideon, you're just like us. You're shielding, you're hiding. You're hiding away from the battle. You're the most unlikely candidate for a military leader that we could possibly imagine. Well, sometimes that's the very person that God uses in his work. Because remember that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that will always be the case. So you can forget about your weakness as a barrier. Because the Lord, in fact, when you get to that point where you're feeling really weak and maybe even broken, like Gideon was, that's the time the Lord can help you in a most remarkable way. And he says to him here, surely I am with you. He would be with him. He would know the Lord's presence. The Lord would fulfill his purpose through him. He said, you're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. That seemed impossible. They had such a good grip on things now. So well established. And as I said, there's fear right throughout the camp of Israel, and not least with this man Gideon. And folks, if you will say to the Lord, and I will, that we will go for him and do his bidding. I was thinking, I think I said to you in the congregation that 26th of May there was ordained 20 years. And it'll be 20 years now this month when we went to Bridlington. Can't believe it's 20 years. But I remember that day in the hall in our house telling the Lord that I really was convinced and had been sometimes almost convinced, other times not so convinced. And that went on for a number of years. But eventually, I was constantly, continually convinced that the Lord wanted me to do that. I said, Lord, I'll do it, but you have to do everything because you know that I can't do. And up until this moment in time, the Lord has done that. See, he says over there in Matthew 28, it says, lo, I am with you always. He's been commissioning his people to go out and witness. It says there, but some doubted. That's what it says in that passage. You needn't turn to it. Some doubted. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye therefore. Why? Because you seem to be someone with great ability? No. Go ye therefore, because I am with you always. And that was a divine favour that was shown to Gideon. And it was a divine favour, I believe, that can be shown to us today. We worry about, we fear again about what will happen to us. What if people say nasty things? Well, we believe in God's sovereignty. And we believe that we're here till our work for God is done. And if you and I will go for him, he will be with us continually. If I look with you there in what it says in 2 Corinthians this time, chapter 3, Paul again is trying to encourage these people to look beyond themselves. I'll just read one verse 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Young person heading into university or work or school, Christian, your sufficiency is of God. People in various circumstances in life, maybe serving the Lord in your work, or maybe you're in some organization trying to live for the Lord there, your sufficiency is of him. But we must come out of shielding. We must be seen to be the Lord's. And to be those who will be seeking, willing to go for him. I believe that Gideon realized that the time spent away up on the mountain was time wasted. Time wasted, and the Lord came along to him. And when does the Lord come along to us, and then he said to our heart, it's now time to go. Time to do what we can for the Lord. Surely we work with and we mix with nice people and we fellowship with them. But I want to be at my best. I don't want to be like Gideon. I don't want to be living in defeat anymore. I want to be at my very best for the Lord. There was the defeatism that was expressed, the divine favour that was explained. Now, he didn't get it all at once. The Lord would protect him when he needed it. The Lord would give him all the strength he needed when he needed it. And the Lord would encourage him when he needed it. And he got all of that. Because if you read the history of Gideon, you know that the mighty man that he become for the Lord. Final thought here, deliverance by a strong, weak man. I'd like you to take time and to read the rest of chapter 6 yourself and into chapter 7 and so on. And just read of how he was instructed by the Lord, how he went forward. His first, you could say his first commission really was to go and to cut down the item that was worshipped in his own father's area. And that was very hard. But that's what he had to do. And he was a little bit afraid, so they went at night. And it says in verse 27 of chapter 6, he feared his father's household. So they did it at night. If you and I determine to go on with the Lord, sometimes aren't there sometimes things in the family circle are that, well, people need to see that we're going on with the Lord, and sometimes it's not easy. Not easy, especially if in any way that it makes them feel uncomfortable. It's not easy to do because you don't want to offend them. You don't want to hurt them because you love them. But if you look there in verse 28 and 30, you will see there that the perspective of the people was so twisted. They wanted to kill Gideon for cutting down this, and Joash, his father, he's now completely transformed. We believe he's affected because he saw reality in Gideon's life. And he thinks, well, if this is real, so now, this man who was one of the key men in Baal worship, he says, if Baal be God, let him come out and plead for himself. Verse 31. Let him plead for himself. He's changed. Gideon was never going to change anybody when he was shielding, hiding away up there on the side of the mountain. And brothers and sisters, I trust that the Lord will help you. This was a strong, weak man. He was weak in himself, but he was mighty through the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants to do with all of us. Of course, we don't aim to be mighty, but we get as much might as the Lord wants to give to us in whatever circumstances he places us. I trust that the Lord will help all of us to be like Gideon, to get up and to go for the Lord. There's plenty to be done. One day things will normalise, I'm sure, as far as this pandemic is concerned, and we will be able to be out and about and doing things that we just can't do at the moment. But I trust the Lord will help all of us to be like Gideon and to come out of shielding as he did.